Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to another episode of My Favourite Takeaway, the show for people who love food but can't always be bothered to cook it. I'm Tom Crane, and joining me today is my good friend Simran Shah. How are you, Sim? You had a nice week?
Yeah, week's been good. I went to a gig, and after the gig, I was quite hungry. But now listen, the venue for this place wasn't that far from where I lived. Now I had two options. Yeah. I could either get an Uber back home, or I could have got the tube. So I decided to get an Uber, but it took too long for the guy to turn up.
Right.
So I then cancelled it and thought, oh, you know what I'll do? I'm going to order my takeaway now, jump on the tube, because I know the tube will be quicker, and then get home and it'll arrive in time.
Oh, you were trying to beat the takeaway back to your house.
This is it. It was a race against time, Crane.
This is so exciting. Genuinely, Simran, my legs are wiggling beneath the desk. That's how excited I am about this story.
So I placed the order, and it said 30 to 45 minutes. And I was like, great, not a problem. My journey is going to be 25 minutes, right, on the tube. I place the order, and I start walking to the tube. And I'm on my phone, I'm listening to music, and then I check the status of the Deliveroo, and all of a sudden, it's dropped down from 45 minutes down to with you in 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, no!
And I was like, oh, shit, now I really need to move on. So I started running to the tube and then got on the tube. And as I'm on the tube, I now lose my signal, so I can't see where it is. And I just got this panic as I'm thinking, fuck, what if he's there? How long is he going to stay? Do these guys stay? Is it like a cab that has waiting time? Or do they just leave?
How long do you think you might be staying on your doorstep for, going, I do need to make money this evening, but it's more important to me that Simran has his food.
Well, I'm now thinking literally in minutes. I'm like, brilliant. I think I'm going to be 2 minutes, like maybe 1 minute either side, 2 minutes. Will he stay for 2 minutes? So I get off the tube. I look at my watch again and I'm like, right, I've got about 7 minutes now to get home. And the delivery's already got the map out. So he's on the map and I can see the bike is coming and I'm at the station. And I'm like, right, I think I can possibly make this if I run. And I run, and I'm not going to lie, Crane, as I ran, I tripped. I tripped. I've not run and tripped in a long time, but I
did
ran.
Did you fall
and
over?
I sort of fell over a bit, but I did that sort of stumble forward, like, and I bent down, and then I went back up again. I was like, okay, and then I picked up pace as I went tall.
So did you make it? What happened then?
So I ran, and then I could see him.
Okay.
I could see him at the door.
Yeah.
At the door, looking up, looking around, and then he had the takeaway bag out of his delivery bag, and I could see him putting it back into the delivery bag as he was about to leave. And as I saw him, I went, hey, I'm here. And everyone was turning around and looking at me as I ran to the delivery man.
And you ran towards him, and then he did the lift from Dirty Dancing, didn't he? He held you
up
in the air.
It was very Dirty Dancing. He lifted me, and then he had a pizza slice in his hand, which I ate. Like a ballerina.
Lovely moment. Baby doesn't put dips in the corner. I like your panic that you thought if he'd put the takeaway back in the bag and zipped it, there's no way he'd get it out again. You saw him zipping the bag. If he closes that bag, the pizza's gone forever. There's a puff of smoke and it combusts. There's some kind of delivery thing. You're not there on time and your pizza will be destroyed. That's awesome, Sim. I found that genuinely exciting. And my legs are still wiggling now. 3 minutes in, they're still wiggling.
So tell me, go on, Tom, what happened to you this week?
Well, mine's just a very minor takeaway thing, but I think it is a thing that there's a great lesson in it. I had a Chinese, and I always get the same thing, which is normally egg fried rice, crispy beef. And if I'm sharing with Claire, I'll also get lemon chicken. But then I have to ring up and I tell them to change the lemon sauce for a sweet and sour sauce, because I prefer the way they do the chicken when they do the lemon chicken than when they do the normal sweet and sour. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
I decided 2 nights ago, on having my normal Chinese that I've been looking forward to for ages, to go off-piste and to order something I don't normally order. And
okay.
It was a disaster. And the dishes that turned up, I hated. It meant I hated the whole meal. I spent the whole meal going, I really wish I was eating crispy beef. And I can't ring up now and order a supplementary crispy beef to arrive an hour after my first dish, because that basically says to them, we didn't think much of your first attempt at cooking for me. So I had this meal. And it reminds me, I went on a date when I was about 19. Not to brag, I did. I went on a date when I was 19 in Cardiff. And this date, because I thought, I'm going to try and be impressive, I'm going to go off-piste, I'm going to get something that looks cool, I went for something called pineapple rice, which I thought for some reason would make me look good, because it was 12 quid. Hey, big spender.
12 quid for pineapple rice?
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Showy as well for a 19-year-old. That's
what are we
like,
are we talking rice with chunks of pineapple, or are we talking...
Well, this is what I assumed.
Bits of pineapple shaped into rice. I suppose no one's sticking the latter, are they? No one's sticking the latter.
Well, it's weirder than that, Sim, it turns out. It isn't rice with chicken and pineapple and stuff like that mixed in a sort of special fried rice style. What it was boiled rice served in a pineapple. So they had just completely scooped out the innards of a pineapple and then just stuck rice in it. It's just a receptacle. It's supposed to look nice, and you're supposed to then scoop that into your bowl to have the rice. I didn't realise that's what you're supposed to do. So instead, I just sat there throughout the day eating spoonfuls of rice from a pineapple that I was holding in my hand. Like I was having a breakdown. I lived in the Caribbean. It was kind of, it's just a very weird moment. And we didn't see each other again, to be honest. That didn't go any further. But my point is, and I'd like to put this to our listeners as well. Have you ever gone off-piste? Have you ever ordered something you don't normally go for? And has it ever worked out, or has it ever gone horribly wrong? We want to hear your stories. And do you feel that it's best just to play it safe? Like my girlfriend does, she will basically get the same faux soup 15 takeaways in a row because she knows what it is. She doesn't even love it that much. It's just in the ground where she's happy with it, and there's going to be no worry if she knows where she is with it. Do you think you should always play it safe? Do you do that, or are you a risk taker takeaway wise? Want to hear about more of that sort of stuff. And we've also had correspondence in general, haven't we, Simran? Talking of the wonderful emails you've been sending us. What have we got this week, Sim?
So we've got one here from John. He says, hey guys, really enjoying the podcast. I've recently moved from an area with unlimited choice of takeaways to a place where Just Eat has only a few local Indian takeaways available. Fear not, I found a new takeaway approach which includes him investing, this is it,
yep,
investing in a delivery driver bag.
What?
Yeah. So yeah, he invests in a delivery driver bag to help keep food warm, which he then goes and collects. So he now looks to pre-order his food for a set collection time. And then when the kids go to bed, he drives down for 5 minutes, collects the food in his delivery bag and returns them.
Oh, that's so good.
So John, you've decided to solve problem of few Indian takeaways by essentially becoming a takeaway driver, a delivery driver.
That's so good. That is the problem. If you pick up takeaway yourself, the plastic bag means it probably will be cold by the time it gets home. So I think there's a logic to that. I think it's a nice idea. I think there's something in that.
I do agree. And I think we've all probably done this when there's a Domino's and it is a cheaper in collection. And if you've got a car, you do think, fuck it, I might as well just go and drive, pick it up, pick up a spare and pick up an extra one for free and come back. And then when you get back home, you're like, yeah, that was worth it actually, rather than just forking out the cash. I think we've all been there. So John, I do agree with you. There is benefit to this.
100%. Let's move on. What have we got next?
Our next correspondence is from Anon.
Oh,
okay. This person's already feeling shameful about their takeaway habits. So, hey guys, love the pod. Thought I would tell you about my weird takeaway habits. I get the same takeaway, same meal, every single time. He gets a cheeseburger, extra mustard, fries, Coke for the drink, an equivalent of a McFlurry, onion rings and barbecue sauce. So, Anon here says he gets the tang from the extra mustard on the burger, salt from the chips, sweet from the onion rings, and sweet from the barbecue sauce. It's the perfect combo. And aside from the odd occasion when I order a pizza, I will never, ever deter from this order.
Oh, well, that's what I've been saying, isn't it, Sim? You know, this is the risk of going off-piste. What's I saying?
Recently, however, he went to order his same meal that he does every single time, but they discontinued the onion rings.
Oh.
Since then, he cannot bring himself to order the same meal. Because he says, if I can't have the full order, there is no satisfaction. I need all the parts or none of the parts. Absolute despair. So he wants to know, is there one element of a meal so important that would stop you ordering the whole meal altogether if it wasn't available?
Great question. That is a really great question. There definitely is. Now, and this actually is something that comes up in our episode today with Ellie. Ellie Taylor, our guest tonight, she's ordered Domino's pizza, as you will find out. And for me, I will never go for a pizza place that does not do dips. I feel that dips are such a crucial part of the pizza experience. I could not go for anywhere that does not do the sensible dips.
Okay, so you're in Florence, you're in Naples, and you are ordering your pizza, margherita or something basic, simple, because that's probably how it should be done.
Yep.
And you're also ordering a barbecue sauce. Are you, or were you then walking out of the restaurant?
I'm not ordering a barbecue sauce, but I...
Otherwise they don't get your custom.
Well, I think when you're on holiday, there are different rules. I asked for some mayonnaise to go with a pizza when I was in Rome once, and they wanted to throw me out of the restaurant. but I do feel you need a wetness for your pizza. I really sincerely believe this. In that situation, I would go, listen, Mr. Florence Chef, I appreciate the effort you've got. And also, I'm in a nice square. The vista's lovely. I've got a large G&T on the go. I'm enjoying this for different reasons. But if I'm here, then I would never order online, for example, from a pizza place that doesn't do the correct dip.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much for those correspondence. And if you want to get in touch, here's how. You can follow us on Insta on My Favourite Takeaway Podcast, on Twitter on Fav Takeaway Pod, or email us hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com. Right, time for our guest. It's Ellie Taylor, an excellent comedian and author who's appeared on shows like Ted Lasso, The Last Leg, and Mock the Week, and recently released the brilliant book My Child and Other Mistakes: How to Ruin Your Life in the Best Way Possible. So here she is.
So we are sat in Brentwood's most palatial home. This is really lovely.
Tom, stop it.
Stop it. It's amazing. I'm being sort of doused in light from about seven different windows. There's the sound of birds and green as far as the eye can see. It's amazing.
Thanks, mate.
On the journey here, we saw some deer.
We did see some deer,
which is a real treat for coming out of London.
Right? Yeah, we were in Hackney before this, so it's quite the change. We have a lot of badger issues.
Oh, dear.
Oh, terrible
here
badger problems.
Here?
Oh, okay. Not in Hackney.
What are the badger issues?
Well, they just dig up the garden. They just come in and look for food and then dig it up.
Okay, and what do you do about that?
Oh, well, we just leave them because...
because they've got TB. I don't want my child to get TB.
We leave out some mashed potato for them, Bodger and Badger reference. No, we just leave them to it. But yeah, it's weird, the sort of issues that you have here. So we have a lot of space, which is lovely compared to London, but, I mean, to immediately turn it towards the podcast, because I'm professional, it's very different sort of food and drink vibe around here.
Very good. We have a lot of boxes of food in front of us.
We do.
All from Domino's, and we don't know what's in there. I think we should briefly explain. The reason we're speaking in hushed tones is because Ellie's daughter is asleep above us.
Yeah, and she's crying a lot, so we're just trying to minimise the crying, so we have to not... So no man... booming.
Because it sounds a bit like we're sort of on the run, but we're still trying to record a podcast in a cupboard. So I don't want to get caught.
I feel like I'm in some sort of like speakeasy vibe. Where
we've
got to keep it down.
Yeah.
Because Domino's is basically one of the prohibited things, and we're sneaking it in.
Because Domino's is Jones is walking around. He's got a shotgun.
Can I drop what I can only describe it as an absolute bombshell. This has never happened before. Michael, our producer, when he saw your order, described it as bland.
Oh my God, it's so bland.
And decided to add extra things to spice it up. I'm so sorry.
You know, we got a takeaway Indian the other night, and you know it was proper Blandsville, like tikka masala, korma, and it got switched. Your classic got switched for someone else's, and we got a much spicier one. I felt so sorry for the people who got ours. I was so disappointed. We couldn't eat half the stuff. We just had a bit of
some 8-year-olds in Northern. It's come to our house instead. Right, so we should open this up then.
With pizza. margarita. I always just go margarita. I don't want to dick around.
That is...
I don't want to mess around with toppings. I always go margarita.
Here's a margarita.
What, so what do we have here?
So
we
this
have...
is your margarita.
My margarita. This is what I always get with Domino's. I will always get just the cheese and tomato, but I need a lot of the dipping sauce.
Yeah, huge fan.
Like a big, I've got an extra big one. I would say regular size pots, I will get through six pots with a regular size pizza.
I think this the introduction of the big tub of garlic and herb sauce is the most important change in the culinary world for the last decade.
They've listened to their people. Yeah.
And then this one here is mine. So
that's like a
for us to try. So do you eat meat?
Yeah.
You do. Okay.
It's never on a pizza. I just so don't this want is, to.
Okay, right. So it's Texas barbecue, but with the change, I remove the chicken and I replace it with pepperami, and I remove the peppers and I replace them with Domino's herbs.
Are you saying this is what you've done, or this is what?
This is what I have done tonight.
It's bespoke.
It's bespoke, exactly. Yeah. So I thought we'd give it a go.
Oh, fair enough.
So what? So why do you go margarita? What's your?
Because I just think it's the simplest, most beautiful pizza. I honestly don't understand why you'd ever add anything else. I've never had a pizza and gone, I'm so glad there was meat on it or some kind of bit of pepper.
Okay.
Just no man.
So are you quite a risk averse eater in general? What's how would you describe your eating? Are you adventurous with food?
No, I don't like spice stuff at all. I think pizza in Essex, we've found it really hard to find. Because in London, where we were, there was a lot of, you know, your sourdough bastards everywhere. Delicious.
Massively. Oh, you like it? I think it's overrated.
Oh, I love it. I really love it. Yeah. Or just like, you know, Franco Manca, a chain. But
I think Franco Manca is too much dough.
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah, the crust.
Yeah, I think it's basically too much dough, all crust. It's like they've forgotten to do the middle bit.
Well, maybe they need some dipping sauce and then you'd be more interested. There you go. So this is like, I would say maybe we have Domino's once or twice a year.
Okay.
It's like a treat. So I remember we had Domino's. I had Domino's the day after I did the marathon. Because I was like, the night after I did the marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
We had it the day after we got married because we were hungover. And,
yeah.
But it would never be like, it's not like, I do love a proper Italian pizza, but sometimes you just can't go wrong.
So this is the equivalent of the day after you got married. This is as important as
it's bringing
an occasion.
All those memories.
So you've moved back to Brentwood now. So this is where you grew up then.
Yeah.
So growing up, what were your takeaways like? Did you get takeaways when you were growing up? What were the options like? Because we drove through the high street. There's loads of stuff now. There's, you know, restaurants. And
it's it's the suburbs. It's quite a lot of chain stuff.
Yes.
Which again is sort of us getting used to it around here because you can get so many wanky, interesting things in London. There's just not that around here. I just want some interesting wank, that's what I'm asking.
So what was the interesting wank you were into?
During lockdown, we went wild. I was talking to you about a place I used to love near where I used to live, called My Neighbours the Dumplings.
Fantastic, yeah.
With just amazing dim sum, really great. I remember we found like an amazing like tapas place just gave you a whole tapas board. We just experimented on delivery.
Do you get delivery much still? Are you, you do? Okay.
Yeah, we have it, I would say, at least once up to three times a week.
Really?
Okay. Are you the sort of person who goes, okay, Wednesday night is takeaway night, or is it just like, this has been such a bad day, let's just get takeaway? Because that's what happens with me. I have the great plans of cooking, and then parenting and stuff like that gets in the way, and the day crumples in on itself. Yeah. Next thing I know, I'm eating a burger in front of Escape to the Country in my pants. Yeah. So it's kind of...
So by the time that you put a kid to bed and the idea of coming down and cooking and then cleaning the sodding kitchen for the thousandth time. Just get a takeaway. But we always go for like a weekday, we'll go like for a Nando's or something, which is like, just the chicken and like veg, so it's like healthy. But then weekends, Friday pizza.
Yep.
Saturday, who knows, maybe a burger.
Okay, nice.
A brioche burger.
So moving back here then, so growing up, did you get takeaways and stuff like that? Did you say, was it...
Not really. My mum and dad don't really do it now that much.
Yeah.
So all I really remember is the occasional fish and chips, never Indian, because I don't think I had tried an Indian until I was in my 20s. I was too scared. Yeah, too stupid. That's okay. And then I don't think I looked at a tomato until I was about 28. Like, I've really come on in the last few years.
So what did you eat growing up? What were your go-to? So?
Well, the takeaway I remember is getting is Chinese.
Okay.
And I remember just always loving the Peking duck. So much so that I remember like getting the bone of the Peking duck and literally taking it upstairs and putting it in a drawer in my room just so I could literally suck the bone. It's like 8-year-old girl obsessed. It's just so tasty.
Were you one of the Croods? What is that? Do you remember that cartoon about cavemen?
Yeah, but It's really weird, but it was just so freaking delicious.
That is. So did you have a bedside cabinet full of bones?
Yeah. No. Did your parents know this was what
you were
doing?
I don't know if it was secret bone sucking or if
it was... And was it just with the Peking duck? Or was that's there the only thing I remember. That you would take up and sneak in your room?
I remember also, like... I do remember, like, putting a little glass of orange squash in my drawer and finding that, and I'd be like, I was obsessed with that. I always wanted a drink when I was younger. Mum, can I have another drink? And, like, if we're going out for dinner, can I have two drinks? That was the most exciting thing. And so to be able to have squash that I could access my home, like, whenever I wanted in my bedroom drawer, that was quite exciting. So I think I used to, used to squirrel all that in there too, next to the bones of the ducks.
Was it a household that would be open to... to that kind of thing? Like, would you think
your household is open to that kind of thing?
It's a very niche question. Some households wouldn't wait.
If you're being raised by wolves, that's the sort of thing, the sort of household that would be. A pack would be okay with that sort of thing.
That's incredible.
So, have you carried this habit on any further in life? So, when you were at university, for example, did you.
Oh, I don't think I was being fancy enough to have Chinese takeaways at uni. No, what did we have at uni? A lot of Indians at uni when I was growing up by that point. So remember, we would sit, literally, it was our favourite takeover, it was called York Spice. We went to York Uni, and my little, like, housemates, we would sit by the house phone, and as soon as it would hit 5 o'clock, that's when they opened. So that's when we would ring, and we would be, like, eaten and finished by the time Neighbours starts. That's what the aim was.
To wolf it down?
To wolf it. Oh, just an absolute dream.
Your orange squash thing has made me think of a idea I had for... a piece of furniture, which I think is quite a good idea, which is a... Because isn't it awful when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're... I'm constantly waking up and I'm thirsty and I have that little pitiful glass of water, which I seem to finish about midnight. Mm. And as you have kids, as I kind of do, if I want to go and get another glass of water, I'm worried about waking up Charlie as well. Yep. So it's a bedside table and it has a vat of water in it. And then you press a button and you can fill a tap. So it's like a...
How much water do you need?
Do you mean it's one of those water...
It's a water filter, which is also a bedside table. But it's concealed in nice mahogany, and it has a little tap. So rather than having to walk through your house to get a glass of water in the night, you can just press it, and there you are. You can keep refreshed.
I don't think it's the best idea you've ever had. I'll be honest. I would just say get a large flask or something.
Just say fill up the cup.
There'll be a lot of parched listeners nodding in agreement now.
Even if you had a pint of water next, you would finish
polish
that.
It off.
Is it, well, you, that's you got just my polish off whatever receptacle you fill? If you had a washing up bottle full of liquid, would you down that?
I'm not going to lie. Let me think how big it would be. So a pint easily, 2 pints, I'd definitely finish that.
What's
bigger than that?
You?
I would say a small office bin. I would say 4 pints of water I could easily drink during the night. Is that lots?
I don't drink anything in the night.
Sorry, 4 pints of water during the night?
If I was given the opportunity...
I think you need to see a doctor, because that's an exceptional amount of water to want to drink.
You must go to the loo a lot.
Maybe once or twice in the night as well.
Oh, my God, how do you sleep? So intermittently. Your kids waking you up, you're drinking, and you'll have to go for a wee the whole time.
Yeah, it's quite it's quite an up and down night, to be honest. How am I come out of the weirdo when 10 seconds ago we talked about you sucking on old duck boats? Did you ever get to choose what you had when you were growing up? And who decided what the takeaway was going to be? Was it like a treat for you? Was it a thing that you would, or was it like?
I think it would be parents. I don't remember having choice in it. But it really wasn't a very common thing, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it would basically just be Chinese fish and chips or maybe a pizza.
Yeah.
That was quite exciting when Pizza Express started doing, you could take them home.
Yes.
And I'd be like, Dad's going to drive to Pizza Express.
I think there's some of the magic of it is lost that people don't go to the takeaways now.
Well, this is the thing that Josh Whittacombe was saying. He was like, when they would go to get their Indian takeaway, it wouldn't be delivered. They'd get in the car and they'd drive to it. And that journey was for him like just pure joy of like the excitement of getting a takeaway.
I love a guy knocking on the door and giving you food. I think it's magic.
You?
Yeah. I don't want to drive anywhere.
But isn't it something about getting there and looking at the laminated menu and thinking, oh, what am I going to get? And listening to the hubbub and waiting for it to come out. Is there not something about that?
No.
That I find sitting in the waiting room having 4 pints of water and then just
and then needing a wee.
Yeah,
I don't remember ever doing that actually properly going in and ordering.
But it's a nice interactive. For me, I think there's a lot of joy in that. Sometimes you go to an Indian restaurant and you're popped in that little area while everyone else is sort of sat having the meal and there's a small low table and you sit there and you wait and maybe have half a cobra or whatever, but it's kind of...
Yeah, and
I find that really
you
exciting.
Read the leaflets, the takeaway leaflets that are there.
Do you not miss that at all?
It's difficult with an Indian takeaway because I definitely don't miss that for two reasons. One is if I go to an Indian takeaway, either I think I'm a delivery driver or they think I'm a person working at the Indian takeaway.
Okay.
Or thirdly,
they'll talk to me in Hindi, assuming that I understand, and they'll want to, like, get a quick rapport going, and I won't have it at all.
Right.
So then I'll really struggle to decide what I want, and then I'll freak out and something like order, like, the chips on the menu. That's a giveaway.
Run off.
And then get out, run away. So I've never had one since. Pure embarrassment.
So, okay, so that's you growing up then. So what about when you went to uni in York then? So you'd have your Indian meal. Were you eating well at uni? Were you kind of, what was your lifestyle then?
The first time I really cooked for myself, so it was a lot of pasta and dolmio, I remember that. And if I wanted to really treat myself, there would be some bacon cut off and shoved in. some like basic cheddar on top. I remember that a lot. God, a lot of cereal. I'm obsessed with cereal. It's like my favourite food in the world. So I think there was
What do you have?
Well, I have to restrain myself because, I mean, you've heard the bone story. You can imagine where it would go. Yeah. So I have to... we have very, like, boring, like... brown cereal in that, so it's like Weetabix and Shreddies, that sort of thing. Yeah. If I had a box of Curiously Cinnamon in that cupboard right now, all I would be thinking about while talking to you is that there's Curiously Cinnamon. When they go, I can have some. That's one bad thing about having an open plan living kitchen diner. You can't secretly eat anymore.
Well, not if you keep the bones in your cupboard.
No.
Where were you previously secretly eating?
In my old house, the kitchen and the living room were, like, separated.
Yeah.
So my husband watching telly, he had no idea what I was up to in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Bloody no idea. Now he can see me. So I have to, like, I've, like, really, it's really nice. Oh, he's got a call late at night. Oh, okay, dear.
I love my girlfriend, Claire, so much. But when she goes out for an evening, it's the best thing in the world.
Do you go feral? I go proper food feral.
It's so bad. I watch a movie that I would never get away with, and I'll have Chinese, normally like pork balls, all that sort of stuff, prawn crackers, all this sort of stuff. And then I will dispose of it and hide it and make sure it's all gone by the time she gets back.
Now, when I used to come in from gigs late at night, do you remember that when gigs happened?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I would come in and one of my go-to things to do would be coming in and opening the bin to see what my husband's eating for dinner.
See if there's any bones left.
And is that just out of pure curiosity? Do you want to call him out, or is it for inspiration?
It's total interest. I'm always very interested in what people have eaten for lunch.
There's another way you could ask him.
He's asleep. It's 1 a.m. Tom. I'm not an animal. I'm not going to make him out. I'll just look in the bin like a normal person.
Well, is that because you're worried that he's not eating well?
No, couldn't give a shit about that. I just want to know what he's had. Honestly, it really wouldn't be that interesting. It would just be like, oh, he's had the tortellini and the tomato mascarpone sauce. Okay, right. I know that then. I'll go to bed now. Just out of my way.
Maybe check he's not had your Curiously Cinnamon.
Yeah,
They're good.
So good. Like crack.
Did you say, you know Henry Widdicombe, Josh Widdicombe's brother?
Right.
He ran the Twitter account for Curiously Cinnamon, I think it was. Is that right? For a
year. I don't know what you're looking for.
He loves it as well, and he went on it, and it was said, if you've got some comments, send us something on @CuriouslyCinnamon. He went on, and he realised they'd never actually claimed it. So he just ran it and sent out tweets from Curiously Cinnamon for a year. All stuff about cinnamon and things that are curious. And eventually they got in contact and went, oh, yeah, can we have that back, please?
That's amazing. Yeah. I wrote somewhere that I love cereal. Mm. And I think I had it on my bio, maybe on my website. Like, I love cereal. I'm only writing this, so I hope someone from Kellogg's will see it one day. Well, they did. And I got sent so much, but it was like a Labrador being, like, locked in a Greggs. It was so exciting for me because they sent me my favourite cereal, which is called Start, that doesn't even run anymore. Like, have you
That's
heard
like
of
such
Start?
An 80s cereal.
What is
this cereal?
I've not heard of this.
Had like an athlete on the front.
Yeah, it was about to make you good at swimming, apparently. Yeah. Like what you tell your son. Yeah, it's going to make you good at swimming in this really sugary cereal. But yeah, they don't do it anymore, but they sent me loads of boxes. I had so many boxes. I had
too many kids drowned, didn't they? That's why I had to take off I can do it, Mum! Off the deep end. Never seen again.
Yeah, I had to give loads of it away. I had to take
so
loads of
how many boxes do
I
you
had
have?
Like multiple big, like, you know, like proper brown cardboard boxes full of cereal, and I had to take it to the food bank because I was like, this is not going to end well.
Would you eat cereal at night before you go to bed, that kind of thing?
If my husband wasn't
people
here,
do that quite a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, so be like, if I had a good gig or a bad gig, my classic would be to come off the train, go to the newsagent, and some people buy like vodka or something. I'd go in and go get like a packet of fruit and fibre and two pints of semi-skimmed and then just go home. Like, I can nail a pack of cereal in like, I think my personal best is probably, I would say 12 hours, a whole box. of like fruit and fibre. Yeah.
Okay. A fruit and fibre?
Yeah, it really gets things going.
The subsequent 12 hours.
Ooh, risky.
So you're going straight fruit and fibre. You're not mixing something in there for a bit of sort of joy and pleasure or a bit of sweetness.
Occasionally I'll do a cocktail, but okay. I like the purity at night, so it would be pure Cocoa Pops, pure fruit and fibre.
What would you say to people who have yoghurt with their cereal? Because I know friends who do that. They'll have...
No, you're trying to do a granola. Just own it. Just know what you want. Don't make this weird...
Apparently granola is awful for you.
Yeah, it's really sugary.
Yeah, it's one of those things that for about... a year and a half when I was trying to lose weight, I used to eat loads of granola and then someone went, you know, that's not the worst thing you can have. It's like, oh.
Oh, Tom.
Yeah. I am always impressed by your daughter's breakfast size.
Which I think she's probably got it for me because she loves cereal as well.
Yeah.
And she just eats a lot. She loves, when you say, what's your favourite food? Cake.
Okay.
And she does not share food. Like, you know, like friends, Joey doesn't share food. She's like that. She went to my mum's the other day and my mum was upstairs. My dad said to her, like, here's a biscuit for you and here's a biscuit for Nanny. Go and take them up. She took them both and wouldn't give it to my mum and just sat on the stairs and ate both the biscuits. She's a proper little, yeah.
So how do you get her to eat the... She just, of her own volition, will go, I'm going to have a Weetabix and some ready breakfast.
Yeah, she was like, I want daddy cereal, Weetabix, I want Shreddies, I want Crunchy Band. I think my excitement has just rubbed off on her, you know. I'm such an influencer to my own child. Yeah. I know some parents get very worried about their children having sugar and them going mental. But I saw an episode of Super Nanny about 10 years ago where they did an experiment where kids had sugar and then one group of kids didn't have sugar, but all the parents thought they had eaten like loads of Haribo or whatever. And it was just pure perception. The parents assumed because their child had sugar that they said, oh, they're hyperactive, they're, you know, being naughty. It's absolutely bullshit. It has really a negligible effect on children's behaviour. So I'm like, have a bloody cake,
really,
mate.
That's really interesting.
It is.
So
listen to me again, Tom.
It.
And, yeah, it's
the
how you perceive it. And often they have that kind of food because they're at a party. Well, of course they're going to be excited because they're around all their mates.
When you were pregnant, how was your eating then? Did it go... Did you have any weird cravings? Was it mad? Were you kind of...
No, I had no weird cravings. I had to have a lot of... I felt nauseous a lot, so I had a lot. I was constantly snacking on, like, mini cheddars were my go-to snack. So I'd be, like, in meetings, being like, no one knew I was pregnant at this point. I'd be like, sorry, guys, I'm just going to get out my mini cheddars. I felt really unprofessional. I was like, I'm going to puke unless I do this.
Just
pretend this is normal.
Yeah. How's your pizza?
Well, I've just hit the stuff crust, I was going to say.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So I'm going to try some of your margarita.
Please.
So there are other types of stuffed crust, aren't there? There's a hot dog filled stuffed crust.
I've heard of that one.
Have you ever done this?
No. That sounds awful.
Well, friend Anna said it was like a skirting board of sausage. Amazing description.
But nobody's ever got to the crust and thought, I wish what this is lacking is a hot dog.
No.
It doesn't feel like it's something that you...
I never want a hot dog in my life.
I've got a few specific Domino's questions.
Okay.
When you're ordering them, say, are you the sort of person that's concerned about the deals? Because I will spend ages trying to work out the exact combination that will be the cheapest way of doing it. And there's all these family deals and all these sort of things, eating for one, blah, blah, blah. I'll try and go through the system and work out the way to trick it.
Yeah.
Do you bother doing that?
I think I'll have a look, but then they always include a drink, and I'm like, I don't want your 7-Up, babes.
Yeah.
Keep that. I'll do my own thing. I never do that. Are you really quite influenced?
I will take ages trying to work out what is the cheapest way of doing it. I'm like that. Also, I will take ages trying to decide what to order. So if Claire and I are ordering, sometimes she'll have something different. Hers will arrive 20 minutes after, whatever, and I will still be searching.
Hang on, so you have separate takeaways?
We do have separate takeaways sometimes,
This is weird.
Is that weird?
That's weird. Well, not weird, unusual.
Okay.
Let's label it that way. So what will you be having and what will she be having?
Well, she will normally go for a slightly healthier thing, and mine won't be as good, but I will try to claim it is. So she will have something like pho or something like that from the Vietnamese, which she will order very quickly. And I will, meanwhile, I will be cross-referencing different Turkish places and Googling and trying to work out which is the best, you know, wrap I can get, blah, blah.
Can I just ask, how did you start deciding that you were going to do separate orders? I feel like that came out of an argument. Rather than you both naturally decided to order something in different times. So just talk me through the first moment when you thought, I'll just order separately to you.
I think you both want to enjoy your takeaway, have a nice... You don't always want the same thing. So we went through...
I would just never think of that's even an option.
No. We went through... Well, OK, the story of this...
I think it's the beginning of the end of the relationship.
Yeah. We've got children now.
We all know it's the separate bedroom, separate takeaways.
Yeah, exactly. What we did initially, we had a thing where we would list in notes on my phone all the different cuisines. So it would be Chinese, Indian, pizza, all this sort of stuff. And then we would pass the phone to one another
and we would each delete one. It would go down and down, leaving us with the final one. It would, let's say it said Turkish or something. We'd look at each other, we'd kiss for maybe 2 to 3 minutes, and then we'd order. But often I would be thinking, I didn't really want Turkish. I just annoyed she deleted Chinese, and that she had the last go. So basically, it was her decision. So I thought, right, what if we just had separate takeaways? So sometimes, we don't always do this, but sometimes we'll do that. It doesn't mean that I'm eating my takeaway about an hour after her, because I've been spending ages trying to work out what I have. Is that weird?
I've never heard that before.
Okay. So how do you order then? So do you and your husband, unless you're ordering together, are you sharing dishes? Are you...
Yeah.
Are you really... Yeah, yeah. Is it sort of collaborative?
Sharesies, yeah.
Sharesies, okay.
Does someone take control?
No, whoever's not doing the bath time with the baby. Okay. We just flip-flop.
Yeah, yeah.
But my husband, when we first started going out, always said that he operated on an open plate policy, which meant I can always have anything off his plate. Mm. And reason why I married him. Yeah. And so, yeah, with our takeaways, it's sort of, yeah, okay.
Going Do you operate on a closed plate policy? Or?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Bill, he's not allowed to come near mine. Yeah. Yeah, so it's always like... But there's not that many options around here, especially, so it's kind of like, do you want an Nando's, do you want a pizza, do you want a burger?
So you've spent the last year, well, how long writing your book then? So how, what's...
I spent sort of, about the last year, actually, yeah. Well done, Tom, exactly the right time.
How's that been? What's writing a book like?
I've really enjoyed it, actually, yes. And I think you're probably... I think you're, like me, would consider themselves a writer before anything.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I've really loved, just to be able to, especially once my kid was back in daycare. Oh, thank God for that. So just to have, when she was away and I got like a day ahead of me where all I knew that I had to do was write. It was like the absolute dream day. And I've really enjoyed it.
Do you have like a writing process? Do you have like very strict day, or is it sort of as things come and
work? For not for stand-up, I don't know. I wish I had by now, but it's still very ad hoc. And I feel like I feel like I have to do a lot of faffing around before I finally get into the mindset of writing. So, you know, I need to put that washing on, I need to just reply to that email. I need to sort of get all of that out of my system, and then I'm like, the slate is clean, and then I can start writing. And once I'm in it, I really enjoy it. But it always feels a bit like, I've got to do my homework. Mm. But then, once I start it, I really like it. But for writing a book, because it's non-fiction, all about having a kid, so it was never like, ooh, what will happen in this chapter? It was all pretty linear. Do you know, my husband's a journalist, so he's been doing live shots from the garden. Yeah. I've got a book about parenting coming out, like, it would be really helpful if you could just let our child run around in the garden in the background. That would be really good PR. Darling, think about it. Yeah. From the family point of view, you need to do this.
So what is, for people listening, what is the book? And
It's called My Child and Other Mistakes, How to Ruin Your Life in the Best Way Possible.
Lovely name. Thank you. Lovely title.
And it's just sort of a story. And I say this in the intro, like, it's not like an amazing revelatory story. It's the story that so many parents, especially women, have of having a child and nothing bad happens. It's just a child. But for every time, for every woman that has a baby, it's mind-blowing, and the tectonic plates of your life have shifted, and yet we just she's had a kid. But it's so profound. And it affects you so deeply. It's just sort of charting that, and kind of a love letter to mums, I suppose, and the relationship with your kids. But it's very funny, but it's also, I think I've been quite honest in it, and I think it's really bloody moving in places. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. All right, I'm really fucking good, right?
Well, thank you very much. That's been so much fun. We were actually going to have burger tonight. The burger place.
Burger place
not to suggest you've moved out
to the Six.
The Six, but it's only open Thursday through Sunday.
Because everyone knows, but it's not Tuesday night. It's not really a burger night, is it?
No.
What night is a burger?
Friday, Saturday.
I think Saturday is a burger.
What's Friday night?
Well, sort of fish and chips classic, isn't it?
We go pizza Friday night, and then burger Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, Michael's already had a burger tonight, so Michael, our producer, can tell us whether it's is it Tuesday night burger night.
I mean, I had a burger for dinner tonight.
Well,
I had a pre-pizza burger.
Ellie, thank you so much. That's been an absolute joy, and your book is clearly amazing, and I really look forward to reading it. And
thanks,
thank
you guys.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot of food left, so...
There's loads.
I'll just put that in my drawer and suck it later.
The wonderful Ellie Taylor there. Loved chatting to Ellie. That was great, wasn't it, Sim?
I loved it. It was great. It was a lot. I loved the Domino's selection. I mean, to be honest, I could crave another pizza. That's terrible.
We're recording this at 9:15 in the morning, Simran. You can't do that. It's too early. If you are enjoying the show in general as well, dear listeners, please do spread the word and do leave us a review as well. It makes a huge difference to the show. It really does. And we want to get the word out there, get as many people listening as possible. And we have wonderful guests coming up, people like James Acaster. We have Rosie Jones, Big Hass, who's a wonderful up-and-coming chef. Just so many good, fun people coming in the episodes ahead. And if you have any great takeaway stories or disasters or any feelings about the importance of dips with pizza, do you agree with Ellie Taylor, then contact the show, and here is how.
You can follow us on Insta on My Favorite Takeaway Podcast, on Twitter on Fav Takeaway Pod, or email us hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com. Thanks for listening. That was really fun. And please tune in next week when we've got the wonderful Big Hass. He's such a great chef, and we had a really great chat with him.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.